Chapter 22. Gareth.
Did I miss the funeral? Hywel said. Not yet.
Gareth rode beside his lord, with Godfred a half pace behind on the other side.
Tegwyn was to be put in the ground as the sun was setting. Your father hoped that the delay would give you enough time to return.
Gareth expected Hywel to express regret, or at least grimace, that he'd failed to miss the funeral. But instead, he opened his mouth and sang. A bright fort on a shining slope stands. A girl, shy and beautiful, plays with the gulls. Though she thinks of me not, I will go, on my white horse, my soul full of longing, to seek out the girl whose laughter fills my heart, to speak of love, since it has come my way.
Up until this moment, I didn't want to attend, but now I will sing that for her,
Hywel said. Gareth was having a hard time finding his voice. He glanced behind him and saw that several of the men had overheard Howell's tenor and were clearing their throats or surreptitiously wiping at the corners of their eyes.
Did you compose that for Tegwyn?
Gareth said.
It has been forming in my mind since I left Aber, Hywel said. I wish she was still alive to hear it.
She won't be remembered because she ran away with a Dane anymore, but because of your song, Gareth said.
She was lost, Hywel said simply.
Gareth glanced at his prince.
So you believe Dewi's story? Perhaps not every word, but in the main, yes. Bran must have known that someday the body would come to light. He didn't dispose of her cloak,
Godfred said.
That close to Aber, everywhere else was equally fraught with peril,
Hywel said.
He should have burned the cloak, Gareth said. He could have stolen a boat and thrown her body into the sea. His wife was dead by his hand,
Hywel said.
I submit that he might not have been thinking clearly, and would have been concerned primarily for his own skin. He didn't want anyone to see him. He'd come to Aber in secret. He wanted to keep it that way. Do you think?
Gareth hesitated, biting his lip.
Do I think what?
Hywel said.
He may have known the village children thought the house was haunted,
Gareth said.
He probably knew that Cadwallader met his women there. Perhaps he hoped that if Tegwyn was found, suspicion would fall naturally on Prince Cadwallader. I myself assumed it when we found the body. What is the word for such a man?
Godfred said.
Devious, I think you would say.
One never knows what a man can do when he's desperate, Gareth said. As surely as Bran must have been desperate having killed his wife.
My lord Hywel, your father will be pleased you solved her murder, if not Bran's, in time to lay her to rest,
Godfred said. I'll tell you what I'm glad about, Gareth said. I'm glad that I'm not bringing your lifeless body into Aber, my lord.
Hywel waved off Gareth's concern. The archer's aim was poor.
Gareth shook his head.
Why now? Why take a shot at you? Bran killed Tegwyn. What are we missing that has put you in an archer's sights? You do have a second murder, that of Bran himself,
Godfred said. Gareth clenched the reins tightly and then forced himself to relax. I would not have said we were getting close to identifying him.
And yet, if this ambush is related, our murderer must not agree,
Hywel said. He has stayed hidden for 3 years, Gareth said. What has made him lose his grip? Nobody had an answer to that.
Are you going to tell your father about Tegwyn's accusation against Bran?
Gareth said.
I will have to,
Hywel said.
If I may suggest, my lord, Gareth said, it would be better if only your father knows what we know. We may have inadvertently flushed out another wrongdoer. We want to keep him guessing. I agree,
Hywel said. They had finally come off the beach path to the main road that ran past Aber. Torches shone from the gatehouse where a crowd had gathered, forming up on either side of the road to the castle, and Mylitter's drum pounded out a solemn rhythm.
Tegwyn's funeral is about to start.
Godfred bowed.
I am sorry for your loss, my prince.
Hywel nodded absently and dismounted at the crossroads where the track that ran down from the castle met the main road. Gareth waved at the men to dismount and then went to help Davith off his horse himself. Davith's wound had turned out to be less serious than it could have been, because his boiled leather armor had stopped most of the arrow's force. The point had penetrated the muscle of his upper arm, however, and he needed proper treatment before the wound suppurated. Directing another man-at-arms to give him support, Gareth sent Davith into the castle by a back pathway that led to the postern gate. The rest of the men picketed their horses in the grass beside the road. Dowie had been walking with his hands tied in front of him on a lead behind one of the horses, and Evan pulled him off the track behind the other man, keeping one hand on the rope. Dowie hadn't tried to run away, but Tegrin's funeral would present him with the best opportunity, with his guards more focused on the procession than on him. It wasn't long before Tegwin's coffin passed their position, with Griffith, Seaned, and King Owain following immediately behind the pallbearers. Howell moved towards Rin, who nodded his head almost imperceptibly in greeting. Mary, who walked next to Rin, shot her husband a glare and lifted her chin. Gareth couldn't help smiling at his prince's discomfort, confident that he knew what that was about. Gwen walked with Gwochmai, Shayla, and Dai, farther back in the procession. At their approach, Evan nudged Gareth's arm. "Go on." Gareth didn't need a second urging. He took Gwen's hand, and they walked across the bridge that spanned the Eber River to the burial ground of many of Eber's royal family, located to the south of the village. An ancient chapel and head surrounded the circular site. By the time the people had filled in every available space to listen to the words of Eber's priest, it was nearly dark. As they lowered Tegwin into the ground, and Howell opened his mouth to sing his paean to her, the rain finally stopped. To the west, the clouds lifted long enough to reveal the sun setting in a fiery ball. As the last note faded, the congregants murmured their approval. Then, at a nod from his father, Howell launched into the Latin benediction, one everyone in the audience knew well. It soared above their heads, Gwalkmai's soprano acting as counterpoint to Howell's tenor. It was completely dark by the time they made their way back into Eber Castle. With the cessation of the rain, temporary though it might be, candles and more torches had been lit all along the road to light their way. And Tegwin's. Most common folk still believed in their heart of hearts that she needed guidance in her final rest to the next world, despite the exhortations of the church to the contrary. Gwen and Gareth held back to allow most of the crowd to leave them behind, as he gave her a hurried summary of all that had happened in the last few hours. He tried to move out of earshot of Dai and Shayla, but as he finished his tale, Dai appeared at his right elbow. "You should know that Prince Cadwallader met a man at Wenna's hut last night." Gareth came to a dead halt in the middle of the road. "You boys are going to be the death of me. How do you know that?"
"I saw him."
Dai hadn't registered Gareth's glare of disapproval. Gwen put a hand on Gareth's arm and gave him a quelling look.
"What did the man Cadwallader met look like? Could you see?"
"He was large, with yellow hair."
Dai gestured to Godfred, who was fighting the current of people, coming towards them from wherever he'd been.
"Like him?"
Once Godfred reached them, Gareth steered the five of them to the edge of the road, out of the way of any passerby.
"It's my fault," Shayla said. "I told Dai about going to the hut, and he insisted that he wouldn't be scared. Gwochmai and Yorworth came too."
Gareth studied Shayla's downturned head. Like at Carrie's hut, Shayla was refusing to look at him. Gwen stepped in.
"Let's start again. The four of you followed Cadwallader to Wenna's hut and saw him meet with a Dane there?"
"No,"
Dai said, cheerfully oblivious to Gareth's displeasure.
"We didn't follow him. He was already there when we arrived. The door was propped open and a lantern lit in the house. We sneaked up to see who had got there first and saw them talking."
"Did they see you?" Gwen said.
Dai shook his head, though for the first time he looked uncertain.
"No, they didn't," Shayla said. "I'm sure of it. They were intent on each other."
"Did you hear what they were talking about?" Gwen said.
"Something about a book," Shayla said.
The three adults exchanged a quick glance. By now, everyone had passed them to return to the castle except for Godfred's Danes. With a wave of his hand, Godfred dispersed his men in a defensive perimeter along the road.
"What else did they say?"
Godfred said to Shayla.
"Nothing else. Prince Cadwallader asked if the man had news of the book, and reminded him how important it was that he find it."
"Did you recognize the man as one of Godfred's?" Gwen said.
"We have been looking all day for one named Eric, who is half Welsh."
Both boys shook their heads uncertainly.
"Without catching him, we won't know if it was Eric," Godfred said. "It could have been one of Thorvin's men."
"Why would Cadwallader want the Book of Kells?" Gwen said.
"For the same reason Thorvin did," Gareth said. "The Earl of Pembroke would make a powerful ally. Thorvin wanted to use it to bring Gilbert de Clare to Ireland. What if Cadwallader wants Clare's help in gaining power?"
"In Ceredigion?" Gwen said.
In Gwynedd, Gareth said.
Gareth was really only thinking out loud, but as he spoke the words, a possible plot took shape in his head. There was nothing Cadwallader wouldn't do to advance his own position, and no person he wouldn't betray.
Godfred put a hand on Shayla's shoulder. The boy had been following the adult's conversation with wary eyes.
What happened next?
Cadwallader rode away, back to Aber, and the big man went off in the opposite direction. We didn't want to get caught, and as it was very late, we returned to Aber too.
Dai was bouncing up and down, as if anxious to speak. Gareth put a hand on top of his head to stop him from moving.
What is it?
There was one more thing, he said. I don't think either of them knew where this book was.
Why do you say that?
Godfred said.
There was a great deal of cursing and kicking furniture, Dai said. It's how King Owain behaves when he is angry.
Godfred growled low in his throat.
If you're right, that would be the best news I've heard all day.